We're not talking about punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great students of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. Currently 80 degrees, 67% humidity. Winds are out of the south at 23, gusting up to 28. We got 1 inch of rain here in Elk City. I think everybody did a pretty good last night on the rainfall. Further north you went, the weaker it was. But last week it was further the north, and the stronger it was, and the further south it was weak. So we got some this week for the southern part of the listening area, and it was great. It was a lot of prayers were answered last night. People were in a way better mood this morning than I've seen in a long time, and it's great. I got an inch and a half at my house. I think they got 1.2 at Sayre. Got inch here in Elk, somewhere about an inch. I got over 2 inches at my place at Willow. It's trying to make it all up at once. Hadn't had any in 3 years, but now we're trying to make it up, and I love it. Keep trying to make it up. Got an inch and a half at the Pivot at Granite, 1 inch at Hobart. Text line is open, 580-225-9697. Text in where you're from and how much you got. Let's see if everybody is happy today. They should be. Anyway, let's go with some market prices. Right now, live cattle and feeder cattle are up slightly. June for live cattle is 133.87, August 134.75, October 142 even, December 147.70. Feeder cattle are down slightly, not much, but down just a hair. May is 158.40. August is 170 even. Lean hogs are down. They've just been plunging for the last couple weeks. May is 167. June is 162. July is 101.52. Let's see what cash grain prices in Oklahoma are going on right now. Let's check it out. Wheat, $11.32 a bushel. Corn's $8.16. Milo's $7.74. And soybeans are at $15.36. Well, wheat's surged on persistent dry weather in the U.S. southern plains, while corn and beans rose as planting remained slow in some areas. Red flag warnings again have been issued in parts of the southern plains today and tomorrow amid high temperatures, strong winds, and low humidity. Little or no rain has fallen in much of western Kansas or the Oklahoma and Texas panhandle in the past week. It's opposite the problem in northern plains where spring wheat is grown, and excessive precipitation continues to delay that planting. Anyway, I'm fumbled mouth today. Man, I'm just happy we got rain. I'm just totally excited. But anyway, wheat for May delivery jumped 19.5 cents to $11.12 a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade, while Kansas City futures added 17 cents to $11.92 a bushel. Corn futures were up 7.75 cents to $7.83 a bushel. Soybean for July delivery gained 11.75 cents to $16.04 a bushel. Soy meal rose $1.80 to $403.30 a short ton, while soybean oil futures surged 1.44 cents to 82.48 cents. Tractor and combine sales fell off for a second straight month in April and amid supply chain difficulties, according to the Association of Equipment Manufacturers. Sales of farm tractors dropped 22% year over year last month to 31,587 units. Two-wheel drive tractors sales also fell 22% to 31,329 units. Sales of tractors under 40 horsepower lost 25% to 22,714 units, and sales of those between 40 and 100 horsepower plunged almost 20% to 6,261 units. Sales of machines from 100 or more horsepower bucked the trend, rising 3.2 year over year to 2,354 units last month, according to the association. Four-wheel drive tractor sales fell 21% to 258 units, while sales of self-propelled combines declined 5.6% to 459 units. Supply chain remains the number one difficulty of our member manufacturers are facing right now, according to Kurt Blades, the Senior Vice President for the Industry Sectors and Product Leadership at the AMA. Still, the numbers are being compared with record sales in 2021, he said. While these numbers may look disappointing, they remain above the five-year average. Canadian sales didn't fare much better, falling 19% from April 2021 to 2,992 units. Two-wheel drive sales fell off 17% on 40 horsepower, 21% on 40 to 100 horsepower, and sales of 100 horsepower plus units were down 6.5%. Well, there you have it. That's what's going on. I got a couple things to touch on. I got Kent Watkins with SEI Agritech in here with me today. We're going to talk about cover crops and drought. And we're not out of this yet. Just because we all got rain last night, a little bit last week, we're not completely out of this yet, but it's starting to fix itself. But this goes out to the Southbound convenience store over at Sayre, mainly Ashley. She owns the place. I didn't know if she got to see the NCAA standings in softball yesterday, but OU's still number one, and OSU's still in the top 10 at nine. Number nine, but we got the Big 12 tournament coming up this weekend. It's going to be a good one. There's some great softball going on in the United States right now. So turn in, and Ashley, good luck with your team. I wish you the best. So anyway, we'll be right back. I'll have Kent Watkins on here with me, and we're going to talk drought and cover crops. Be right back after this. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
XIT Auctions will be selling 400 acres of good Kiowa County land Thursday, June the 2nd in Hobart, Oklahoma. The auction will be conducted at the Women's Exhibit Building, selling 400 acres and three tracts. These are located 6 miles north of Lone Wolf, Oklahoma on County Road 2090. For more information on this auction or to talk about your auction, call me, Aubrey Latham, 580-393-4440, or check us out on the web at xitauctions.com. XIT Auctions, ready to work for you.
If you're a farmer or rancher, you rely on a business that can help you get the things you need fast so you can get back to work. Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisei, Oklahoma is that business. They carry farm equipment, oil-filled cattle guards, and fencing supplies. How about a cattle chute or hay trailer? They've got them. You need welding supplies? They've got that too. Learn more at everettswelding.com or see their ad inside the Penny News. That's Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisei, Oklahoma.
Red Angus offers superior marbling. One of the top breeds for marbling, yes.
If a steak has marbling, it means what?
It's going to be tender and it's going to taste good.
That's where the flavor comes. That's right. Where the tenderness comes, right?
Yes, good steak. Benji White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com on Facebook. Follow us at B&L Red Angus.
Lori White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com. You can find us on Facebook by searching B&L Red Angus.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
This is Jerry Nunn, owner of the Woodward Livestock Auction. For sale this Thursday, May the 12th. We're expecting 3,000 cattle will start the auction at 8 a.m. for Levy got 50 steers, never 500 pounds off the cow. Clinton, 40 steers, never 450 to 550. They're weaned. Panhandle, Texas got 62 steers, 8.5 Freedom, 39 heifers to 8. Moreland, 73 heifers, 7 and a quarter. Arapahoe, 76 steers, never 7 to 8. Thomas, 30 steers, never to 8. Moreland, 38 steers, 8.5 Weatherford, 115 steers to 8. Cleo Springs got 154 steers, never 6 to 7. Weatherford, 62 heifers, 7.5 Moreland, 57 steers, 8.5 Moreland, we got 270 heifers. There's Charlet, they raise bulls for 11. 750 to 9 weight heifers make good cows, and 250 steers, 8 to 950. Byron, Oklahoma, got 60 steers, 860. Again, we're expecting 3,000 cattle. We will start the auction 8 a.m. sharp. I hope you got a good rain out here in the desert. We got a half inch to an inch. Very thankful. Tell God thanks. Maybe we'll get more. Thanks again, Jerry Nine and the Woodward Livestock Auction.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
81 degrees and humidity 65. Winds are out of the south at 21 with gusts up to 26 miles an hour. And in the studio with me right now is Mr. Kent Watkins with SEI Agritech here, right here in Elk City. Welcome back to the show, senor.
Well, appreciate it. I know I was supposed to be in here a week ago, and I thought about it about 3 o'clock last Wednesday afternoon, so that was a little late.
Luckily, you're on my payroll.
There you go.
But that's why I reminded you yesterday on the show. But anyway, we got man, was this rain a blessing?
It was. I think it's taken some pressure off.
Yep.
We're not out of the drought by any means. The drought monitor will prove that out the next time they report. But it is a start, and we're a lot further down the road than we were yesterday.
Yes. And there's you're a year or two older than me, but we're still up there. But I'm telling you what, we went through 2011. Everybody learned some lessons, done some new. But I've seen a lot of sad faces the last 2 or 3 months in the farming industry. I don't blame them. It's tough with the input costs so high and just no rain. You're not in a good mood. And it doesn't matter whether you got irrigation or you don't have irrigation. The outside that irrigation, you got the same thing everybody else does.
Right.
And irrigating without rainfall is tougher.
It is.
It's tough. And so it's hard to keep up, but there was a lot of people with smiles on this face this morning.
Absolutely. Yesterday, I put this for today. I put this together yesterday, not knowing whether we'd get a rain or not last night. I'm glad we did. But you're right. I think in 2011, everybody with irrigation figured out pretty quickly that all they were really doing was supplementing Mother Nature and not really doing it all by themselves.
Right.
I had several over east of here in the hydro and Eakley area that found that out. They just couldn't. It was so hot, so dry, they just could not keep up.
Right.
And so irrigation's great. It's expensive now, but it's not a fix. A rain is lots better.
Yeah.
And you can get through a dry, a tough patch with it, and you can produce more yield with it. But you also got to pay the bills that it takes to run those pivots too. So you have to. If you're going to run a pivot, you have to have increased yields to be able to pay for it.
Yeah, and I got like the pivot we got down south at Granite. We got a well down right now, and it I don't know if it's going to cost, if it's an electrical problem or if I got to put a new $4,000 or $5,000 pump in there. Well, there goes the profit off of this year's crop already.
Right.
But you still got to follow through with it.
You have to follow through with it.
Because you got to have something to pay for that pump.
That's right. And, if it's a big motor on top of a turbine, it's probably $12,000,
$15,000, $18,000.
Oh, yeah. There's lots of different things that can go wrong. Yeah. But rainfall is by far the best way to go if you can get it.
Yeah, it's the real thing.
Real deal.
Well, what do you got going on with your, what are you thinking about drought and cover crops?
Okay, so I put this together yesterday, but it's valid today as well because we're not out of this drought.
Right.
So the first thing I want to talk about is the thing that I always want to talk about to remind everybody is the five pillars of soil health.
Okay.
And it's extremely important now. The one, number one in my mind for the Southern Plains is armor on the soil. Keep that soil covered up all the time. The next one is low disturbance. So use no-till drills, no-till planters. If you're row cropping, don't till more than a strip till, and it'd be better if you didn't even do that. But if that's what you're going to till, then do that. But low disturbance. And then the next one is a living root in the soil as many days out of the year as possible, because the microbes that live off that root system have to have that living root. If whenever you kill that cover crop to plant your cash crop, you're going to start losing microbes, and you have to have microbes to make the fertilizer reaction work. The next one is diversity, and I say diversity, 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 and I'm talking about different plant species in that cover crop mix. Don't just go plant a hay grazer or a forage sorghum. Plant a 3 or 4 or 5 or 15 way cross, you know, in there, and we'll go through that in a little bit as to why.
Because I want to know what all you think makes a good mix.
And then the last one, and some farms can and some farms can't, but it's livestock. If you have a farm that is normally a, let's say it's a normally a cotton farm, but it has a well in the corner, and you can put up a hot wire around it, and you can graze, you know, through the winter, you'll get there with your soil health faster than if you use that same farm and don't have any livestock on it. Livestock gets you there quicker, provided you don't overgraze.
Right.
Okay. So let's go back and let's talk about armor on the soil, because that, for the Southern Plains, it's by far the most important. When the ambient air temperature is 100 degrees, and it's been that way for 4 or 5 days, maybe 10 days, something like that, in a bare soil, or let's say a wheat stubble field, if you'll go out there and put a thermometer in the soil an inch deep, it'll be closer to 140 degrees. Especially in a dry year where you don't have any water transportation, and respiration. The biggest downside to that, other than it's just hot, for the soil, in the soil profile, is the microbes that you absolutely have to make the fertilizer cycle work. Because nothing in the, if you go out and throw down 100 pounds of urea, potash, what, it doesn't matter. You get it watered in or rained into the soil. People think that's plant available. It's not. It has got to go through the microbes. They're the underground mafia. They're going to take their portion, no matter what else happens. It has to go through them to become plant available. So if you start killing them off, and you will kill them off at about 105 degrees. So when it gets 105, moving up towards 110, these microbes start dying off because they can't move. I mean, a quarter of an inch would be equivalent to you and me trying to walk to Amarillo. I mean, it's a big move. And
right.
They just can't do it. So they start dying off. And then the other thing is, no matter how dry it is, they're living in a film of water. If that film is drying up, you're losing them, and you're losing a lot of them. So to keep the soil cooled off, a cover crop on that wheat field you just baled up or killed or terminated, however, don't leave that wheat field just bare all summer long, because you're going to shoot yourself in the foot whenever you start trying to plant next fall's wheat crop. Get some kind of cover crop on that and cool that off. So a cover crop that's a foot tall, if you pull the temperature off the bare ground or the stubble field ground and it's 140, 145, if you'll just go pull one off of a cover crop field that's about a foot tall, you'll find that it's about 80 to 85 degrees.
A lot of difference.
Huge amount of difference. Huge amount of difference.
Because back to your Amarillo deal, me and you walking there, we'd die off before we got there.
I'd die off before I got to Eric. But
if you're just joining me, Kent Watkins, owner and manager of SEI Agritech. He's in here in the studio, and we're talking drought, cover crops, and he's touching on soil armor right now, which is the most important thing going on out there, and of technology and just common sense has changed so much in the last 10 to 20 years. You know, you used to see sand fields just blowing, and even red dirt fields, especially in cotton, back when in the 80s, you just seen them blowing all the time during the winter. Everybody, there's a lot of people has wised up and started planting cover crops. And there's some programs out there for cover crops, too.
There are. You can go through the FSA office and get signed up for those. And the cover crop will wind up, in the end, costing you nothing to do it. Yeah, you got to pay for it up front, but those programs will help you pay for them.
Yeah.
And they're paying a lot more than the cover crop cost. So you can actually make a little money doing it. But just strictly from a soil health profile, bare ground is not good.
No.
In any way, shape, or form. Tillage is not good in any way, shape, or form. I mean, you disturb the everything that's going on in that soil profile.
Yep.
And then it takes time to repair it. You know, the microbes have to repair it. So it takes time to do
probably
that.
You probably never get caught up when you do that.
You don't. You don't. I mean, I let mine get away from me. I had some triticale out there. It just flat died in about a 10-acre area. And I've got it almost to the point it's not blowing now. You know, that's pretty embarrassing for me, cover crop guy, letting this place blow. But I don't know, you know, what you're going to do in a situation
like
that.
What could you do?
Yeah, I've planted it four times since September, and I finally got it to hold on the last planting with some oats that I put in. The oats aren't any good. I mean, you know, they're 4 inches tall. They should be knee-high this time of year, but they're holding the ground. And so from that, looking at it from that viewpoint, that's a win right now. The best conservation tool out there is a drill, no doubt about it. And I don't care if it right now, the way we are setting, people are going to have to think differently than what they have normally done, because this isn't normal. So it's probably not going to be what you want to do or what you want to see, but it will get you to the next step so you can get to what you really want to be doing. And it doesn't have to be pretty. It just has to, it has to be functional.
Right.
And so let's worry about functionality right now. We'll worry about pretty later whenever we got some real rainfall.
Right. Well, we'll be right back. We're going to take a break. I got Kent Watkins with SEI Agritech on here. And we'll be talked about. We got more to talk about. I know Kent. He's got two papers, and he hadn't changed papers till just now. So anyway, we'll be right back after this. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, May 6th. 1,433 head were sold. 4 head of steers at 310 brought 206. 3 at 452 brought 195. 7 at 553 brought 165. 8 at 633 brought 169. 3 at 1125 brought 98.50. 4 head of heifers at 253 brought 460. 6 at 458 brought 165. 3 at 503 brought 154. 15 at 553 brought 154. 17 at 584 brought 154.50. Butcher cows were 34 to 83.50. Butcher bulls brought 75 to 111. Bred cows were 600 to 1375, pairs brought 700 to 1500. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. to consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
I've seen a lot of industries come and go. The ag sector is a basis for Western Oklahoma. We do ag real estate, cattle loans, crop loans, to purchase cows or to purchase stalkers for wheat or grass. We do operating loans for seasonal needs, to buy feed, purchase fertilizer, purchase seed, buy hay and feed for the winter. I'm Monty Carlson, and I help make a difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC. It's known as the thief in the night. A lack of cattle mineral can lead to decreased weaning weights, small, weak calves, and severely compromised health. Don't let a gap in your feeding program rob your herd's performance. Stop by Farmers Union Co-op in Elk City and pick up a bag of Purina Wind and Rain Storm Mineral today. Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City is your authorized Purina dealer.
Farmers Trust Farm Bureau agent Mickey Lively, because he's a farmer himself.
I think they trust me because I can relate to them to begin with. I mean, I farm, I run cattle, I understand their business, I understand, you know, what needs to be protected, how it needs to be protected. I understand how important, I mean, that's their life, that's their livelihood. And I understand they need, you know, they need insurance on that tractor. They need to make sure that those cattle are insured if a storm comes through, because if it damages that stuff, they just lost their business. I get that, I understand it, I live the same life, I enjoy it, and I understand what they do. To me, that's something of a little bit of comfort level. People know they can call me anytime, and they can. I mean, I really mean that.
I'm Mickey Lively with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County, and my job is to protect your business. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
Today in Ag is back with Jimmy Clark.
Well, you guys know what today is. It's the Taylor Ranch Happy Cap Hour. If you'll look at me on Facebook right now, I'm wearing a Taylor Ranch hat. You know what Mother's Day means to me? Besides missing my mom, it means from here on out, it's grilling season. Steaks on the grill, hamburgers on the grill, shrimp, whatever. But supply chain issues continue to be an obstacle in our everyday lives, as you heard me talk about, like with the tractors and maintenance and parts and stuff earlier in the show today. But a lack of availability of items you need is becoming a regular occurrence. Buying ahead and stocking up is one way to bridge that gap. If you are one that likes to keep your freezer full during these times, Taylor Ranch can help with that. They have quarter, half, and whole beef available for sale. They develop every animal as if it was going to be served on at their own table. Third-party verified, all natural and hormone-free beef also available. That's Taylor Ranch Beef. Call Jimmy at 405-609-4662. 405-609-4662. And he'll hook you up, and I promise you, it's some of the best beef you'll have. I've got some in my freezer, and it's just mouthwatering. Anyway, it's 82 degrees, heat index 85, 63% humidity. Winds are out of the south-southeast now at 20 miles an hour with gusts up to 27. In the studio with me right now is Kent Watkins with SEI Agritech, and we've been talking about cover crops and drought, and he might have snuck that second page in on me so far, but anyway, there's a lot to talk about. Yes, we got a rain last night, and I call it like a Band-Aid, and we got a little bit of a Band-Aid last week, and if we can get a little more Band-Aid tonight, and pretty soon we get into wet program, and then we're set to go. Things will be better, because forecast shows that it's going to be hotter than normal and drier than normal, at least for the next 2 weeks. But we never know, because last night they was going, oh, it's dying out. And then just as it got over towards Shamrock and Wheeler, boom, she got her second wind.
Yep, she turned east and came this way.
Yeah, it was going north.
It was going north.
It was just like, I was actually sad watching the radar, so I quit watching it. And then all of a sudden, phone starts going off. But anyway, let's continue our talk about soil health and armor.
Okay, so we talked a little bit about armor. I can't emphasize how important that is for us. And if you don't think that it's real, or that that you can tell the difference, go out there wherever you got your hay stacked and pick up one of those bales and look under it. I promise you right now, it's wet. And it was wet yesterday too, before the rain. and it was wet 2 weeks ago before the rain. It's always wet under those hay bales.
Right.
Now, sometimes it's more wet than others, but nevertheless, it proves the point that the cover crop helps conserve the moisture, and it cools the ground off. That ground is always cooler than the ground just adjacent to it, always.
Yep.
So let's talk a little bit about diversity. And I say diversity. Plant species, different plant species. Okay, so when you talk about that, it's monoculture, a single species, versus multi-species. So the argument is that if you plant a hay grazer type multi-species crop, it's going to use up all your moisture. You won't have any moisture to plant your wheat on next fall. Okay.
I've heard that same line before. Okay.
So here's the science and the reality of it. A monocultural crop, let's say of wheat, and then you cut the wheat off, and then come back and plant a multi-species cover crop on it. The multi-species cover crop is going to use approximately 2 inches of rainfall through its growing life. That stubble field of wheat is going to use approximately 2 inches of rainfall through evaporation. The biggest drawback is two of them. First, you didn't keep the soil cooled off on that stubble field. It's hotter than crap. I mean, it's 145 degrees when it gets to 100. It's up for a few days.
And the reason why you cut your stubble too short or what?
It's just brown. It's just sucking in that heat, that solar heat.
Right.
And then the soil dries out, and it's just a cascading effect.
Okay.
In a multi-species cover crop, you're going to use approximately 2 inches of rainfall through its growing life, which is approximately 70 days or so. But what you did do was you kept a living root in the soil for that next 70 days or so, longer than that, really. You kept the soil cooled off, so you didn't lose any microbes, so that when you do terminate that cover crop, you either grazed it out or you cut it down for hay, let it sucker back, and then kill it and get ready for your fall planting. You don't have loss of microbe life in that field, so that whenever you do spread whatever fertilizer you're going to for your wheat, the microbes are there to cycle that fertilizer, so that when that root system gets to where it can take up fertilizer, commercial fertilizer, the microbes have it in place and ready to go in a form that plants can use.
Okay.
So if people don't believe that it's statistically 2 inches of rainfall in either system, OSU has proved that out. That's proven science now. We always thought it, but now we know it. So plant the cover crop. And again, it doesn't have to be pretty. And if it stays hot and dry, it's probably not going to be pretty. But it does have to be, and probably will be, functional. Diversity is extremely important, and I want to go into that a little bit more.
Well, you talk about multi-species. So we have, in our listening area, because we have a big listening area in Texas Panhandle out here, we got so many different types of soil type out here. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's all...
It's everything under the sun.
It's everything under the sun. We got sand. We got red, just pure red dirt. We got red clay. We got shale.
Caliche.
We got caliche and down around Hobart and stuff in there. That soil gets tighter and it's a little darker color down there. Really good soil, actually. So if I'm gonna give you an instance on my field. So I got 20-something acres over there on that one field, and I'm going to plant. I want to plant some high gear in there and some other stuff in there. What would you recommend in high concentration of sand?
Okay, so I would for sure get at least one legume in there.
Okay.
The easiest one would be a cowpea.
Yeah,
and then you can use sun hemp or mung beans. Those are the three that work in our country. And then add a couple of more annual grasses to that. If you take, let's say you have a 4 or 5 way blend in a cover crop. If you take each one of those species out individually and plant them by themselves in a year like we have had to date, and if we stay hot and dry, individually planted as a monoculture, they will likely all die. I've seen it. I've done tests, not just here, but everywhere. They typically, in a hard year, they all will die. If you put them all in a blend, not only don't they don't die, they can flourish and have a reasonably good crop in a dry year, and in a year that you have some rainfall, they're going to really produce in those years. So don't ever, in a cover crop, doesn't matter if it's winter or summer, for us here, don't ever just plant one species.
Okay.
It's absolutely the wrong thing to do, because you're likely not going to be happy with the results.
Gotcha. All right. Well, you guys just joining this segment here. Kent Watkins with SEI Agritech is here. We're talking drought and cover crops, and I got two questions for you. You ready?
I'm ready.
Ask Kent. God knows you. He spelled your name right. What the difference is between 0060 and 0062?
It's all 0062. The industry standard is 0060. It's all potash. The analysis coming out of the mine, is they use 0060. So that they can sell it and not get in trouble with the regulators by stating more than it is on the tag.
Gotcha.
But it's between 60 and 62% K.
Okay.
Especially if it comes from Carlsbad, and all of ours does.
Okay. One more question. Since herbicide and fertilizers are so high, what is Kent's ideal for dealing with broomweed and then blue stem grass?
Spray that in the fall, not in the spring.
Okay.
And 2,4-D or dicamba. You're not going to be very successful spraying broomweed in the spring, because it's already well on its way.
It's already in motion.
It's already in motion, and it has overwintered as a rosette. So spray it in the fall before, when I say fall, I'm saying late September, early October. Spray it with a hormone-type herbicide, 2,4-D or dicamba, whichever one, and then go forward from there. And if you do it a couple years in a row, you'll eliminate it.
There you go. There's your answer. Thanks for texting in. Well, Kent, we got 2 or 3 minutes left. Let's cover some more stuff.
Okay. Multi-species cover crops.
Okay. You sold me.
Okay. Okay, if you plant different species, they all work in concert. They all have a different rooting depth. So you don't want to plant, like crabgrass, for instance, is a very shallow annual grass.
Right.
And BMR hay grazers would be classed as a medium depth. Cowpeas, sun hemp, those, mung beans, those would be a deep rooted plant. So if you put all those in a mix, what we have seen through radioisotopes, and we can see it now, the deeper rooted plants bring nutrition and moisture to the middle rooted plants in that horizon, soil horizon, and then in turn the middle rooted plants, they bring it on up to the shallow rooted plants. For decades, we thought that plants competed for moisture and nutrition. They do not.
They feed each other.
They help each other.
It's like an elevator.
Yes.
Get off at the third floor, second floor, and the first floor.
And I think as human beings, I think we could take a lesson from helping each other.
Yeah.
But especially in this environment.
I agree.
But it's very important to have. Now, obviously, if you're a cotton farmer, you're not going to have a bunch of different stuff out there in your cotton field. But in the fall, when you plant your cover crop in there, and most everybody does now. They'll plant rye or triticale or something. Throw a legume in there, a broadleaf like Harry Vetch, Austrian winter pea, that'll make it through the winter. Throw that in there. You're not going to have to worry about volunteer bothering your cotton field the next year, because at the rate of glyphosates and dicamba 2,4-D that's used, they're not going to survive that anyway. So you're going to be able to kill them whenever you want to in the spring to get ready for your next cotton planting.
Would those legumes not also help you offset a little bit of fertilizer?
It will. They will if you can plant them at a high enough rate. Yes, right. They will. The winter legumes are more expensive than the summer legumes, and they're really going to be more expensive this fall because everybody had a failure.
Right.
Just because. And if they didn't have a failure, then it's so far away from here, you're going to pay that cost in freight.
Right. Yep. And freight's crazy right
now. Yeah, it's crazy.
And winter stuff is higher anyway. Them coats you got to wear.
That's right. Yep. The other thing that I want to mention, if you are going to graze a cover crop, and it doesn't matter if it's summer or if it's winter, it doesn't matter, keep in mind, this is very important, and it goes back to armor on the soil. And keep it in your head, it's take half, leave half. So you can graze it down, but don't graze it down so far that you kill it. Let it grow back, and then terminate it to get ready for your next cash crop. If you can sell graze. It will pay you big dividends against chemical use and commercial fertilizer use. Most guys can't make themselves tighten the cattle up enough in a cell to do themselves a lot of good, but a few moves of the cattle and you'll have a better understanding of what I'm talking about. You want to see a lot of manure, a lot of urine spots out there on that, so that the soil microbes and the macrobes can go to work on that, get it into the soil profile so it's ready for use for your cash crop whenever you get ready to do that.
And that does work.
It works great.
Those piles you see around there, if they don't get moved, you can see the whatever's out there, whether it's a crop or grass or whatever, you can just see.
Yeah.
You can see it coming.
Yeah, and the first insect you're going to see in the field, in a healthy field, is a dung beetle.
Right.
That's the first one guy you're going to see out there.
Yep.
And they're either dwellers or I can't remember the other one, but they're going to move that around.
Trailer park guys.
Yeah, there you go. They're going to be moving that around. It's very important.
Yes.
If you don't see the dung beetles and you have livestock, you need to find a new wormer because your wormer is killing them. They get into the manure. If you're using a pour-on, there are a couple different ones. The one that starts with an I is not the one you want to use, and the one that starts with a C is the one you want to use.
Okay.
It's easier on microbe life.
Okay.
It just is. So if you're not seeing dung beetles in your field, you're seeing the cow pies out there, and all they've done is dried up and turned gray, they're oxidized. They're not going to do you any good whatsoever. So lay off of those wormers and get that going again.
Yeah, you know, we was talking about that either last month or a month before. There's actually some overworming going on.
Absolutely, there is.
You know, it's like me, I brought some new cows into my herd. I'm going to worm. I don't know what they got compared to this. Mm-hmm. And I do talk to my vet about it. And, everybody wants to sell you wormer and stuff like that. But also, there's sometimes you just need to – they don't need it.
No, they don't need it. And if you're not grazing to the ground, they need it even less. Because if you'll watch your cows – if you have a really good, let's say, cover crop, summer cover crop to graze, they're only going to take the top third of that plant because that's where all the sugar is. That's what they're going to take, and they're going to move on if they can. If you make them, if you force them to stay there and eat it into the ground, they will. Those cows, everybody knows, they'll eat whatever you put in front of them. So just move them.
There's the Kit Watkins tip of the week. One other question before I got to go so I can get back and do the Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast. Are we going to have problems with armyworms again this year? Kind of don't know.
Today I would say probably not, but it's a changing environment, so, you know. I'll be a weather forecaster. It's probably going to rain, but it might not.
Yeah.
You know,
there's a 50-50 chance.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the insects that you would normally have early, you can tell if you're going to have a big blister bug infection, invasion into your alfalfa by how many grasshoppers you see out there early. If you have lots of grasshoppers, you can count on big-time blister bug.
And I've only seen one grasshopper this year.
I haven't seen any so far.
I've seen one.
Right. So, and if you think about it, we didn't spray anything for blister bugs this year. Now, granted, we didn't have a great year to grow alfalfa early so far, but there wasn't any blister bugs in it.
Yeah.
And we've had the heat and all that's associated with blister bugs. So all that goes hand in hand. I don't know about the army worms. That'll be a wait and see.
Yeah, and aphids, don't know about aphids yet. I got a feeling the aphids will still be
there. Aphids?
Or aphids, I said aphids. I was thinking about aphids, Georgia.
Well, the aphids, they're going to come up on the wind.
Yeah.
So it depends on what's going on in Texas because of southerly prevailing winds. If it's hot and dry in Texas, we probably won't have much of an issue with it because they're going to dry up as they come up on the wind. So.
Yep, we'll see. Well, Kent, thanks for coming in the studio. Always interesting to have you in here. Kent Watkins with SEI Agritech right here in Oklahoma City, Elk City, Oklahoma. I'm telling you, I'm dehydrated. Too much whiskey. I don't know what the deal is. But anyway, I'm excited. We got rain last night. But anyway, I'll be right back on Today in Ag with the Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger Forecast.
From sunup till sundown, we know your irrigation equipment needs to be as hardworking as you because we all know a farmer's job is never done. Valley is your strength in the field. We're the everyman brand. No matter your operational setup, we have the irrigation equipment and technology to move you forward. Valley products are built to last, easy to operate, and ahead of the curve. Durable, reliable, and built tough. This is Valley.
Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325 or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyards weekly cattle sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
Great news, folks. Ron Hayes here to let you know SEI Agritech in Elk City is now your livestock nutrition center dealer. This is better quality feed and minerals for your cattle, horses, sheep, and goats. Plus, at SEI Agritech, you can buy everything from bulk to 50-pound bags. Call or go see SEI Agritech today about your feed and mineral needs. Their number, 580-225-0317. 580-225-0317. Better feed, better results.
This hour's weather brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden. Complete nutrition for every animal, that's what you'll find in Hi-Pro Feeds. At Hi-Pro, their commitment to nutrition is unwavering. Buy the best and get the most out of every animal. Hobart Farm and Garden in Hobart, Oklahoma is your local Hi-Pro Feeds dealer. Providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, or sacks, see their ad in the Penny News and check them out on Facebook. See all they have to offer at HobartFarmAndGarden.com. That's HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
The Day in Ag is back with Jimmy Clark.
I always enjoy Mr. Watkins coming in. He's always got some interesting stuff that I like listening to, and I hope you guys do too. Well, according to the weather, let's check it out, update everything, refresh, do all that. 83 degrees, heat index is at 86, 59% humidity. South wind at 23 miles an hour with gust up to 29. Today, mostly sunny, 91. Tomorrow, 93. tomorrow evening. We have 20% chance of rain. We also got a 20% chance of rain tonight. They're talking about if it fires up again like it did last night, it's going to be a little bit further out west in the panhandle of Texas, and it won't make it here. But I didn't think that one last night. That thing was going north, and I'm like, you got to be kidding me. All of a sudden, she turned red, and she headed straight east, and here we got it. We got, let's see, 91 Friday, 92 Sunday, 95 Sunday. That was Saturday, sorry. 92 Saturday, 95 Sunday, and 98 Monday. Looks like, for the most part, after tomorrow, the winds are going to calm down a little bit and mellow out, which will be great. Anyway, I don't know if I said this, but 1.2 inches at Sweetwater. What are you doing? We got north of Arnett, 6 miles north of Arnett, got 1.2 inches. So you guys did get some up north. Good. The mezzanette's not showing that. And there we go. So everybody's texting in. Thanks for participation. Anyway, we got, well, since today is Taylor Ranch hat day here, and we're talking beef, buying beef, grilled beef. Anyway, I wanted to go over this with you real quick. We got a few minutes here before the show's over. With Mother's Day, hey, they tell them like me, with Mother's Day behind us, attention now shifts to Memorial Day and the kickoff of summer grilling season. The last year has been characterized by exceptional strong beef demand that began about a year ago. It appears this demand was driven by post-pandemic pent-up demand combined with surging beef exports. Box beef prices have come down from this period of extremely strong demand and adjusted down from a counter seasonal January peak to current levels, 11.2% lower compared to last week of January. In the last 3 weeks, choice box beef values have dropped below year ago levels, while which were surging higher at this time in 2021. There are plenty of reasons to be concerned about beef demand going forward. Beef prices are near record levels, and consumers will face tightening income as cash reserves and savings are depleted, along with reduced purchasing power due to inflation. So inflation's killing us, man. And politicians up in Washington, they're pointing fingers. Last month, there was a big four in the packing industry. A couple weeks ago, it was the oil guys. Now they're blaming the Ukraine war. And this Ukraine war has only been going on a couple months, but this crap's been going on for over a year now. So somebody needs to pull their head out into the sunshine. Notice how I said that nicely. Up there in Washington, and do something about this, because people are not, it's affecting everybody. We got inflation, we have drought going on over here, no crops, it's just bad. However, all proteins are higher priced, and the ratio of retail beef price to retail broiler chicken and pork prices is actually lower now compared to 6 months ago. Still, we watch for indication that consumers are trading down from the most expensive beef cuts to cheaper value cuts. Across a range of wholesale beef cuts, there are mixed signals. I know we're still eating prime, and they're at our house. They are growing indications in the past couple of weeks, some weakness in beef demand. Wholesale ribeye prices have decreased the past 4 weeks at a time when they are typically increasingly seasonally. Conversely, beef tenderloin prices increase strongly ahead of May and typically drop a little bit. But anyway, we're going to be watching this. You know I will. There's some red flags going on out there in the beef industry, but overall, it's great. And so a sunny, warm Memorial Day weekend may provide a better indication of beef demand for the summer. And I've preached it for 6 months. You guys need to buy locally and get it processed locally. And that's why we're having the Taylor Ranch Happy Cap Hour today. Give Mr. Jimmy Taylor a call up there in Roger Mills County. and he will take care of you. They got him and Tracy have some of the best beef around, and we got other people who's got it. But Taylor Ranch has great beef. It's the Day in Ag on 96.5 KCO. I'm Jimmy Clark, and God bless. We'll see you tomorrow.